Hello and welcome to Tell It From Calvary, coming to you from Calvary Baptist Church right here in New York City, Gotham, the Big Apple, the city that never sleeps. I'm Mike Luciano, the executive pastor here at Calvary, and I have the privilege of serving in this evangelical, diverse, and global congregation. The mission of our church is to engage the city and impact the world with the message of Jesus Christ by making disciples, fully devoted followers of Him from every nation. For more information about our church and ways for you to worship, to connect, and serve with us, check out our website, cbcnyc.org. That's cbcnyc.org. Click Contact Us at the bottom of the homepage to let us know that you're listening. You could also download our messages free of charge on our website. Hey, next time you're in New York, drop by. We'd love to meet you in person. But for now, let's get into today's message.
We need to remember who we are. Secondly, we'll see in this text, beginning in verses 5 through verse 11, that Paul charges them to get changed. Literally, to change their wardrobe all day. And lastly, we'll see in this text that when you and I go through that process of remembering who we are and getting changed all the time, that we get to enjoy the benefits of what it means to be a people that are set apart in virtue and ethics that are honorable to God together. So let's look to the Word of God, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Colossians, verses 1 through 4. Remember who you are this morning. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Remember who you are. Here's the summary of these first four verses. What is true of Jesus is true of you if you know him by faith. What is true of Jesus is true of us if we know him together by faith. And notice in the text that this encompasses our past, our present, and our future. Look what it says. It says, then if you have been raised with Christ, do you see it? Through faith in him and through identifying with this message of faith, through baptism, that you have been raised with Christ, your past, you've identified with him. Later on, it says in verse 3, for you have died and your life, present tense, is now hidden in Christ, that in some amazing way your life is hidden in Christ's right now in the present. And look what it says then at verse 4. For when Christ, who is your life, will appear, you also will appear. Future, past, present, future. What is true of Christ is true of us. This is what our theme in this series has been about. Having our identity rooted in him means that what is true of Jesus is true of us. And notice what Paul says. If Christ is your past, your present, and your future, seek things that are where? Above, where Christ is seated. It's this idea, it's this imagery that the person of Jesus who lived and died and rose again is now the person of God who sits enthroned in heaven above. That his priorities, his personhood, his way in which he relates to us is a heavenly way. And if what is true of Jesus is true of us, then you and I are to as well desire and long after, seek after things that identify with him. Seeking after things that are above where Christ is seated. He says to set your minds on these things, not on things of the earth. Where's your mindset? What are you thinking on? Do you remember who you are in Jesus, or are you like me who come Sunday afternoon or Monday morning at least start thinking about the standards of this world? And you know what they are: power, position, possessions, relationship. being recognized. The challenge to seek things that are earthly is ever before us and easy to do. And like that town that we said looks good on the outside, underneath the surface, our normal way of operating is often very earthly, is it not? And Paul reminds this church, remember who you are. How many of you guys like Disney movies? Only three of you? Come on now. All right, I knew they would. I love Disney movies. It's always good for a cheesy line or two, you know? One of my favorite scenes in all my Disney cartoon movies, which I think is now a live-action thing, is The Lion King. You guys remember The Lion King? And there's this scene, you know, when Mufasa dies. You remember Mufasa? Say it again, you know, say his name again, right? Mufasa dies, and like the ghost of Mufasa comes back, and he talks to his son Simba. You remember? Yes, you remember. And he's disappointed. His son has been living life, you know, with the warthog and the other one. I forget what it is. You know. Hakuna Matata, you know. You remember. And the ghost, okay, of Mufasa says to his son, you have forgotten me, remember? You're my son and you are a king. Remember that? He says, remember who you are. Remember who you are. I loved it. And you can't see a movie with me without me making these connections between the theological. And in a heightened way for you and I this morning, the invitation that Paul gives to this church and the invitation that he reminds for you and I this morning is to remember who you are. To remember that you are. Life is encapsulated in Christ's and your mission is on things that are above, not of this earth. Remember your identity this morning and act. When I was a kid, my father used to share with me the story of the Luciano family back 100 years, and I could go through the details. I won't this morning. And he used to say to me, you know, when you leave this morning, remember you are the fourth generation of followers of Jesus Christ in this city. He used to say, represent him well. And I won't be with you everywhere you go, but know that you represent a name that represents a higher name. Are you with me? And that's what Paul encourages this church with. You represent a great name. Remember, think on these things. He moves on in the text. He says, once you start getting your knowledge and your mindset in the right way, then you are to get changed. You need a wardrobe change. Not just in the morning, not just before you go to bed, but all day long, you are to go through a wardrobe change. Look what he says beginning in verse 5 through verse 11. Follow along with me in this text. He says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and is all. And put on, then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, listen to this list, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. What a text. The invitation is to do a wardrobe change. Put off these filthy rags and put on clothes that are worthy of the name that characterizes you. Put off, put on. He says to put off in two categories of sins that so easily tempt us. He says these beginning in verse 5 through verse 11. He says, put off those temptations that are sexual in nature, and put off those temptations, those sins that have to do with speech, our tongue. Interesting. These are the two word groups that he associates. Look again in verse 5. Therefore, put off what is earthly, immorality, impurity, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He says, you used to walk in these ways. These sexual sins and temptations used to characterize you in who you are. He says, take these things off. Those words have unique meanings for each of them, and if we had time, we would go into each more specifically. But what stands out to me this morning that I want to point out to you is this idea of covetousness, sexual covetousness, as a form of idolatry in our life. That to see and act in ways that are not according to God's design for us sexually is idolatry making. And there are many tempting idols to worship. And Paul says that if you and I pursue this in our community, it'll rip us apart. It'll divide us. For 12 years, I've been working with young men in this city, and the temptations for sexual sin, especially among young men, is so large, and it's for everybody. So nobody's off the hook here this morning, including the preacher. The temptations are always there. But as I've sat across the table from dozens and dozens of men who are working through these issues in their life, recognizing how it eats away at their sense of holiness and unity and abiding in God, breaks my heart. And then I'm reminded how easy it is in my own heart to wander and not be close to the Lord. You know, Galatians 6 is my favorite text that I love sharing with young men. Galatians 6, beginning in verse 7, lays out for us this long-term process of health in this way, spiritually healthy. Look what it says in verse 7. Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, that he will reap. For the one who sows in his own flesh will reap corruption, but the one who sows according to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up.